The Excellence of Execution by Tennessee.
John Kelly is a beast. He wants to play football.
Yep. He's a man.
Yes, he is.
He is an absolute man.
And our throwing game will be better next year. We'll miss Dobbs' leg, just like your ex-girlfriend. But I would rather my quarterback be able to put it where it's supposed to be and let the running backs run the ball. What do y'all say? You too, John.
Thank you. Great call. Our throwing game, Russell, get better next year with the quarterback unseen?
I don't know. I mean, it
Garantano.
Depends on who it is. I think Dobbs sometimes gets a little bit of a bad rap. He's not the most accurate guy in the world.
Right.
But somehow, you look at his stats, he completes about 60% of his passes, which is pretty darn good. So I think
completely disagree.
I'm with the caller. Go ahead, John. Tell him why.
Last week versus Tennessee Tech, he wasn't pressured, and he completed every pass. We got a poor offensive line, and when he wasn't pressured, he completed every single pass.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it depends on if there is a shakeup at offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Does Butch Jones go out and find himself somebody, a true quarterback's coach who's been through the battles and can develop? Because you the next game I coach will be my first. I don't know how to evaluate it, but I've watched enough football to look at Josh Dobbs and see his footwork is sloppy. You know, he's just unfundamentally sound. He needs somebody out there to show him how to be a good thrower of the football.
Cam
there's
Sutton.
A lot of,
go ahead, guys.
There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that are sloppy. They don't throw right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still good quarterbacks. And last week proved it. Josh Dobbs, when he's not under pressure, he can throw the ball. If we had an offensive line, and that's our biggest weakness right now, if he had an offensive line, he could throw the ball.
Go back to our phones. You're getting it done today, John.
Breaking up. You might need to open the garage door again.
Russell, you're on probation because John's putting it on you right now. Let's go back to our phones.
He said he loved me. He said I was his favorite.
It doesn't matter what he said. I'm going to pit you guys against each other. I'm triangulating.
You can't drive a wedge between us, John.
The Vols win 49-36, and Tennessee has now won 35 of their last 36 against the Kentucky Wildcats. Tennessee is now 7-3 on the year. That's right, 7-3. Next week after Missouri, 8-3, and then hopefully 9-3 in Nashville on their way, we hope, to the SEC championship game. Let's go back to the phones and get
Tony,
yes.
That's negative talk. We're going to Atlanta.
Next call in, hello and welcome.
What's up, guys? It's JM.
Hey, JM, welcome in.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Today was a lot of fun. I know the defense sucked, but it was fun to see some fireworks on offense because it had just been so painful. That South Carolina game and people starting to howl about Dobbs and DeBoard and all that stuff. So I enjoyed the game today. I'm not the biggest Butch guy in the world, but I guess I'm kind of middle of the road on the guy. But the past few weeks just really got to me. It was just, we had gone out there and beaten Florida and beat Georgia, and that was so fun. And just all the negativity the past couple weeks, I was like, how did we get here? After the Georgia game, I thought it could never get any better than that. And so it was just weird to have. It was almost like two seasons in one. But I've just kind of, in a way, I've been a sheep because I'm trying to cling to this season and all that is still out there as a possibility.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you say cling to this season, did you watch our basketball team play last night?
Tony, quit.
You do realize how long of an off season it's going to be, right?
Tony, you're being negative, bro.
No, I'm being positive. The football team gives us hope.
Well, it does, and that's what I'm saying.
And we've got some life. We've got some athletes, some hope.
Sure.
This is, as Russell said, look, you're 9-3, despite what Florida does. You go 9-3, you've taken a step forward. Now, people don't want to hear that, but look at all the injuries. Look at all this team has overcome. Look at the way this team started today, and they overcame that, and they're beat to hell. This team is all beat up. This team is all beat up, and you know, one thing that's really great about today's game, I'm really happy that Cam Sutton had a chance to come back and
play.
He made
a difference today.
And he made a difference in today's game. And I for one, JM, do you realize today he ties Jabari Greer for number one in program history, his 35th pass defended, according to Ryanen, who writes for...
Ryanen,
I'm sorry, who writes for the New Sentinel.
And the WNBA, I think.
I didn't know, but...
No, I'm kidding. I think that's part of our resume or something.
I got the dump button. Thank you, brother.
No, don't dump.
I got a dump. You can't just do that. 865-200.
What do you have, like a 30-second delay? You dump him like...
Well, I mean, I had to do that. 865... Go ahead, John.
Did you just dump on radio? Live radio?
No, it's actually the app, and I had to dump him. We don't have to go there. I don't know what I'm trying to be nice. You know what I mean? We're trying to be kind to people.
Come on, Tony.
You didn't want me to do that?
No, that was a positive call.
It was a very positive call. John, listen, I appreciate you being there. Not only did I dump him, I'm dumping you, but I thank you. I love you. God bless, John.
Hey. Love you, brother.
Thank you for your positivity. 865-200-5402. So we reload the phone lines. And those of you just joining, we're celebrating Tennessee's win against your Kentucky Wildcats. And for the Volcats, making their way home, you can put your Kentucky gear back in mothballs for another season and know that your Tennessee Volunteers are rolling. And they are your Tennessee Volunteers. 865-200-5402. Moosehead Moose of the Game coming at you. Dubsy, talk to me.
It's time for the Moosehead Moose of the Game. Honoring the most bruising player in today's game. Presented by Moosehead Lager. Brewing winners since 1867. Pour yourself a cold one. Now, let's give it up for your Moosehead Moose of the Game.
At last. Moosehead Moose of the Game. Dubsy, who you have for the Moosehead Moose of the Game?
I'll go with... Is Dobbs this? Josh Dobbs?
Yes.
The guy just owns Kentucky. It's what he does. Just goes out there and drills him, whether he's a true freshman making his first start on the road or a grizzled senior veteran. He just goes out there and tears apart the Wildcats. Gotta love that.
He's Josh Dobbs, and you are not. And by the way, what a great effort by Dobbs today. I'm going to, ladies and germs... say this. My Moosehead Moose of the Game is none other than Micah Abernathy. 10 total tackles in the game, 9 solo, 1 tackle for loss. Played very well today. A real bright spot in Tennessee's defense. And my Moosehead Moose of the Game, Micah Abernathy, in today's game.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do at safety next year because Abernathy and Todd Kelly, of course, both going to be back.
Yep.
I know everybody wants Todd Kelly to move to linebacker. It's not going to happen. Are they going to be able to get Nigel Warrior onto the field, or is he just going to have to wait 2 years?
How can Nigel Warrior not get on the field now?
You only play 2 safeties. My guess is your safeties next year are going to be Kelly and Abernathy.
Yeah, but if you need help at linebacker, how is he not getting on the field? Again, I'm back to numbers-wise. You need
help.
But you
want to move Warrior to linebacker?
I want to move somebody to linebacker. Just put your best players on the field. Make it work.
Right, I think it's going to be Kelly and Abernathy. That's who they like. That, you know, Butch, he values experience and awareness, brains at those positions, particularly there on the back end.
Did Butchie play? Did he say anything
about Kelly?
About Kelly?
I have not seen. I looked for it earlier. I missed him coming off the field.
865-200-5402. Again, 200-5402. We are wide open for you on the phone lines 1 hour into the show. So reload the phone lines. We'll talk to you no matter where you're listening to us. If you've been encountering busy signals, we'd love to hear from you. Tennessee gets the win. They hit the point spread right on. In a game where Tim Priest, I understand, on the Vol Network got flat out ill on the air today for the way that the defense played, and a couple other numbers for you. And I'll find this here momentarily, but Josh Dobbs has really had a special season, and he's going to start honing in on some numbers here, Dubsy, some numbers. I got to find this.
Like a total offense record or something?
Briny Boy Hartman sent me something earlier. Hang on. Let me scroll down. Found Briny Boy's tweet text to me. He always keeps me abreast of
He goes inside the numbers.
Like this. Yeah, oh yeah. Briny Boy will take you inside the numbers now. Briny Boy will take you. 26 career career rushing touchdowns today for Josh Dobbs. A new Tennessee record. Breaks Jimmy Streeter's mark that was held for 37 years.
Silva streak.
That's pretty impressive, right? Pretty impressive.
Yep.
And we'll go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Let's get as many calls in here as we can. And a couple people were asking me, was John, who was on with us before, a bit? And the answer is no, John was not doing a bit. John was a real caller, and he is what he is. Chris Burke asking me, why some weeks, Russell, do we have so many designed quarterback runs, and some weeks we do none? And then we'll go back to our phones. How do you answer that?
Two things.
Go ahead.
One, I wonder if he's injured, and they want to protect him.
Right.
And secondly, the coaches will tell you it depends on what the defense is doing, whether or not they're geared up to take that away or not.
Back to our phones we go. I want to remind you, Smartway and your Garza Law Firm present tonight's action. And I want to thank my friends at Moosehead as well. And also Citizens National Bank, member FDIC, online CMB. TN.com. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Yes, welcome in.
John Tweet. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Tweety.
Is John still on?
John left us, unfortunately.
I mean, he made Jeeker look like a really happy guy. I mean, is he the second guy to cry on air?
John was positive, though. John takes it, I think.
I think there were tears of joy.
Well, right? No, he takes it personally that people are so hard on the team, and I think he's got a good point. I mean, people have let the air. Well, let me make a point here, and I'm being serious. People have let the air go out of this season for them for no apparent reason. This team's going to Atlanta, and I'm not saying we should be happy about everything that's happened this year. The South Carolina game was bizarre and unforgivable. But the team is still going to go to Atlanta. Unless they don't next week. And if they don't next week, then we can get on here and bitch and moan about it.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No. I wouldn't disagree. I mean, I think it was the start that got people like expectations way up. I mean, I remember listening to, I think Tony, you called it at what, 10-2 this year, 9-3. I remember Dubsy saying the exact same thing, 10-2, 9-3. You know, they should have gone 2-2 through that stretch, and they just ended up losing one they shouldn't have lost. But, I mean, if he wins out and he's, what, 9-3 going in and playing Bama one more time, a little bit more healthy, he might have a shot. I mean, they don't get beat, but you never know. I mean, you never know what can happen. But I just don't get why it took eight games now to figure out to let Dobbs run the damn football.
Well, I'm kind of like Russell, though. There are things that go on internally that we don't know about. I mean, let's go back to the first game of the season. You had that shot that he took on the goal line against App State. He's taken some other pretty vicious shots this year, speaking of Josh Dobbs. And so one has to wonder how much of that has come into play in terms of inhibiting him from being able to run the ball. Plus, how much of it, because it's looked to me at times like he's checked out of some runs. And today,
right,
maybe Dobbs called his own number because he thinks these guys suck and I'm going to run up some numbers against them. I love playing against them. It's fun.
Let me ask you this. If they're saying, oh, we got to have Dobbs, got to have Dobbs,
yeah,
got to have Dobbs, what does that say about Dormandy behind him? I mean, honestly.
Well,
like,
what I don't understand about today's game is why isn't Dormandy in there at the end in that final series? Get him on the field. I mean, get him on the field. Don't get your quarterback hurt.
You think he's clearing away the one next year? Or do you think it's Garantano's job? Or Geronimo, however you say it.
I have a what's the word here? There's a disagreement that I have with some people in my inner circle. I have some people in my inner circle that tell me, who are contributors for me on the blog, Throat et al., who say to me that this coaching staff is going to try and keep Dormandy happy, so they're going to try and make it look like Dormandy is their starting quarterback through spring, even though they really have very little intention of playing Dormandy over Garantano. And I just don't see that happening.
Do you think it's that much secret there, or we're just overthinking it? You know what I mean? Is there that much behind-the-scenes manipulation, games going on, or just everybody's trying to read that in?
Well, let's read what happened.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's read what happened with Jalen Hurd in retrospect. Did they not make Jalen Hurd think that they were going to change the offense, modify the offense in that bowl game? In retrospect, did they not do that? Yes, they did.
Well, they better be careful, because I think now in hindsight it's pretty obvious that that situation with Hurd was a major problem in the locker room this season. And if they string Dormandy along to keep, which I understand why you want to do that, because you want to have a solid backup option.
Right.
But if they do that and then they get into the season and you have a quarterback controversy and Dormandy is unhappy,
right,
you could get into another situation where you have dissension in the locker room.
And well, here's my thing. To me, the best guy plays, the best guy plays, the best guy plays. And if you're going to transfer, you transfer. And if I have to have, if there's a major drop-off, there's a major drop-off. But I'm going to get my redshirt freshman quarterback ready, who hasn't played. But again, we're back to this, and Russell talked about it before. When you start thinking about next season, is it going to be a situation like what you see with some of these young defenders that can't get on the field, where you value experience maybe over physical talent? Yeah. I mean, is that what it's going to be?
When Warrior gets out there, he's going to miss, you know what I mean? He's going to lay the wood to somebody.
His speed last week and his talent is undeniable, Warrior. When you watch, granted, it was against Tennessee Tech, but it's undeniable that kid has five-star athletic ability. There's just no doubt about that.
I wish he decapitated that 12th man. I'd have been happy. That'd have been a good.
Oh, no question. There's no question about that.
All right, boys, I'll get out of the way. I'm just glad John didn't kill himself in his garage. You know, that would have been a radio first. So
thank you.
You guys talked him down off the ledge.
Thank you, brother. We would have had like an R. Bud Dwyer moment in our garage. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us again. 865-200-5402. Tennessee victorious today over Kentucky, 49-36 in a game where Josh Dobbs, 223 yards through the air and another 147 on the ground, two touchdown scoring, so he broke and set his own Tennessee record, and that's a record that may may last here for a long, long time. In the meantime, let's go back to our phones. Then again, maybe Garantano breaks it 2 seasons from now. Who knows? Or 3 seasons from now. Let's go back to our phones. Whatever the case, it is going to be a really interesting offseason here, Russell. Do you believe that?
Oh.
I mean, it's going to be tremendously interesting.
I mean, you're going to have, I think, movement on the coaching staff.
Yes, you are.
Quarterback controversy. Tremendous demand from the fans.
New athletic director.
Another step. A new athletics director.
Mm-hmm.
So much narrative.
An NCAA tournament berth in basketball. Back to our phones we go.
Yeah.
8652. I had some people today at the Fish Hospitality Pantry tailgate, which is still going on at Circle Park, at W33 and W34, if you can get over there. What a tremendous time had by all today. But I actually had some people ask me today, where were you last night on the call-in show after games?
Well, there's just so much interest and enthusiasm surrounding Tennessee basketball.
Thank you. Y'all didn't believe me. You thought I was talking. I told you. Here's how this works. Butch Jones kills himself and gives effort. In fact, he cares too much. Rick Barnes, he's always joking and laughing. It's not funny. It's not funny. It's not amusing. I'm not trying to be funny. This is not funny. I love Tennessee basketball. He's destroying it. Before our very eyes. Destroying it. 3-star Ricky. Weekend at Barnsey's. And so, we're going to do some call-in shows after gift games. I'm not doing it after every game. I'm going to give the effort he's giving. In other words, I'm going to work when I feel like it. After games. Till further notice. I don't want to get on there and beat on him. If I had come on here last night, I'd have lost my damn mind. I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to lose my mind. Back to our phones we go.
Up in here?
Huh?
You want to lose your mind up in here?
865-200-5402.
Old school rap reference. Not necessarily a good one.
Up in here. That's okay. It's okay. You got street cred, Dubsy.
Yeah,
let's go back to our phones.
I like to feel like I'm the voice of the street on the show.
I got a great line. Somebody asked me, do you have any assistants? Let them do it, like Barnes does. The answer is, I don't have any assistants. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me. I mean, street cred, that's maybe a little sketchy street cred. We may have to work a little harder on that.
Thank you. Yeah, we need to get some street cred in here.
Just saying. Hey, you know, I'm such a diehard fan, and if it's 9-3, I'm going to be tickled. Something that bugs me about these kinds of seasons is that those guys in those individual positions that are playing their hearts out, and they don't get a ton of recognition, and it's like if the season doesn't just blow it out, then Mike Abernathy and Barnett, and I'm going to tell you something, we're spoiled in punting in our Tennessee family, thanks to the Colquitt, but listen, that guy has gotten us out of the stand. And, I mean, doesn't get a whole lot of celebration. I think he should get some credit. Maybe that's the mama in me, but, you know, those guys are playing hard, and this is their life, you know, for the years that they're with our school. And so even if it's not an absolute knock-the-top-out season, although, I mean, it looks like we're going to do okay this year, those guys are playing their hearts out. And
you know,
like
your point is well taken. It's like everybody's either all in or all out, and it's really strange. But it's almost like the air is out of this thing, and we're still alive all our goals are on the table. Like Russell said earlier in the season, I keep going back to this, this team was never going to go to the college football playoff. They weren't. You know, but, I mean, we can still go 9-3, still go to Atlanta, and granted, most people don't want to see us get killed by Alabama again. Personally, I have the mindset of, I want to get in the ring with the champ, because you can always score a lucky punch. You can always be Buster Douglas. You can always knock the champ out if they're off their game. Right?
Sure.
Can't you?
Sure. Absolutely. And for all the talk we have about Tennessee football being religion, at the bottom, you know, the bottom line is, it really is a pastime. But for those players, it is their daily life, you know, I mean, absolutely. And they, you know, those are the guys that are making this even worthwhile for us. And just one more note, speaking of letting the air out, to all the garage balls out there, and there's a bunch of them. There should probably be like, that's a thing now. There's a ball navy.
Yep.
There's garage balls.
Garage ball.
Crack that door a little bit. You know, carbon monoxide poisoning is not pretty. So just crack the door a little bit, little air in.
Blasted John. Thank you. Have a great day. Did you sense that from John that there was a little carbon monoxide at work there, Dubsy? Because I don't want to think like that.
No, I'm hoping we don't have the first fifth quarter on-air suicide.
Casualty.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably bound to happen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But after a win, nah.
The way today's game started, I thought, and it's a good thing Tennessee went down there offensively and just said, screw y'all. Y'all, we're rolling you today. Do you know what I mean? It's a good thing that offensively we were 1,000% dialed in today, because we were dialed, outside of that first series, we were dialed in offensively.
So check this out. I'll take you inside the numbers here.
Okay.
Kentucky rushed for 443 yards today.
Mm-hmm.
Entering today, teams were 30-0 when rushing for 400 yards in a game this season. Kentucky, breaking trends, trailblazers, pioneers, if you will.
Kentucky is a complete popcorn fart in football. And if you're a Kentucky fan, I'm not trying to offend you by saying that, because I eat popcorn an awful lot. They're brutal. But there's always basketball season, Kentucky. And I'm holding on hope here, because I don't know if the same we can have, if we have that here. JFK, Dubsy, he didn't crack 100 today. That son of a gun runs hard.
God,
there were a couple plays where he's hitting the backfield and he gets 5 or 6 yards. That one early run where he spun off two guys, keeping his feet churning.
His feet is just so fast.
He's so awesome. I love watching him.
Yeah, I mean, it's you kind of wish that I hate to bash on Hurd, but
right.
I mean, it's so obvious that Kamara and JFK are more perfect for this style of offense. You wish you could see them play the entire season.
What would it have looked like? Here's the thing about Hurd, plus the locker room. Here's the thing about Hurd. Hurd was in a bad relationship, and he was engaged to be married. And he should have called it off. He should have called it off when he knew it.
And he did.
If you're in a bad relationship and you know it, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Why postpone the inevitable?
Exactly. And that's what Hurd did. I mean, I'm not knocking the guy. The guy played hard when he was here, and he tried to make his relationship work. But geez Louise. Kelly is... God, what a phenomenal talent. And I'm going to tell you something else. At Kamara in the open field, games like this. Hey, Russell, you watch Kamara in the open field. Some of these playmakers we have against Kentucky, it's tantalizing. That's why fans get frustrated, because they say, where was this against Alabama? Well, the truth is, that doesn't exist against Alabama, all that open space. But these guys are fun to watch in those open field games.
Boy, you think Tennessee's game today was a defensive struggle?
Yeah.
Clemson leads Pitt 28-27 with a minute left in the first half.
It's not my game. I don't like games like that.
13-60 wins.
Do you like games like that?
Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, takes all kinds.
865-200-5402. Next call. Hello and welcome.
Gentlemen, good evening. This is Lloyd. How are y'all?
Hey, Lloyd E. Welcome in, buddy.
Tony, are you on the earpiece? Because I need you on the phone. I'm gonna go this direction today.
Okay.
I think after my meltdown on the fifth quarter after that South Carolina game where I tried the double dip, I'm just going to have to say that anybody ever expecting championship level results from this athletic department is absolutely peeing in the wind. I'd dial it all back to the management and the leadership. And, you know, there's a reason Donald Trump got elected. Okay, he surrounded himself with, you know, people like Kellyanne Conway and Newt Gingrich. We surround ourselves with people like Dave Hart and John Gilbert and these board of trustees. And only at Tennessee can you hire a Hall of Fame basketball coach, and he don't recruit. The guy just doesn't recruit.
No interest.
Alabama gets the top 25 player yesterday in late signing, early signing, rather.
Yep.
Georgia got like a top 50 player.
Yep.
Kentucky, you know, did their thing.
Do you blame me after 4 years of doing that call-in show? Do you blame me for that? For not doing a call-in show after last night's game, after what you saw?
I think you should probably do it for league games, I guess.
I'm going to do it for the big games.
This fan base is so underserved.
Ah.
And, you know, and I told you and Vino, it's probably been a couple, a little over 2 years ago, that a guy like Butch is probably as good as you're going to do. So this is probably the high water mark of Tennessee football.
Yep.
9-3 for our, you know, maybe for a long time. We're not committed to championships. We don't hire at the right level in all positions.
Right.
And from what my sources are telling me, even some of the connected money guys, they don't agree that we have problems at the presidential board of trustee and leadership level. You know, they think just, oh, we got all this talent. Well, we got all this talent, but we got a C-plus coach. And you know what? That's as good as we can do at this university because we don't care about winning. And it's probably never changing. I wish there was a movement we could get behind to really shake things up and try to demand more around here. But I've just kind of resigned myself to where I'm really going to try not to ever expect much and try to enjoy every win.
That's a great – I mean, seriously, absolutely. And there's nothing wrong with that. Look, we don't invest – in the Tennessee Nation, the way Alabama invests. We don't.
We don't invest the way Auburn invests. We don't invest the way Arkansas invests. Look at Arkansas, two of their last three hires, Petrino and Bielema. Two of our last three hires, Dooley and Kiffin.
That's a great point. It's hard
South
to argue
Carolina
with that.
The last three hires, Spurrier, Holt.
It's hard to argue
Tennessee,
with that.
Jones, Kiffin. I mean, it's a situation where Tennessee spends money on everything but elite coaches.
Russell,
and I was telling you, Russ, on your show, I'm sorry to babble, but I want to get your take on this, that I think that there's a fraternity of coaches, sort of a fraternity within the fraternity of elite coaches, and I think they know they're elite, and I think their agents, whether it's, you know, Jimmy Sexton maybe has two or three, but I think their agents talk to each other. I think there's jobs that you just stay away from, and I think this university is one of those jobs. What do you think?
Well, it is with Dave Hart as athletics director, but that situation is getting set to change. So
totally agree.
I think that if you bring in David Blackburn, I think his reputation is completely different. He's viewed as an up-and-comer who wants to win. And if you get into a situation where you do have to make a coaching change, whether it's in a year or a couple of years, I think you'll be in much better position to land in an elite head coach. And part of that, the credit for that, people might not want to hear this, the Butch bashers, but part of the credit for that goes to Butch because he has taken a situation that was unattractive when he got it. And like even if he, like we talked about last week, decided to, I don't want to deal with the pressure, these people are crazy, I'm going to take the Cincinnati job or the Arizona job or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully it's not Dave Hart making the hire at that point, but it's still a much more attractive job now than it was at the end of 2012.
And I think you'd see that. MP, I think he's right. No, I think you would see that. I think the Tennessee job now, this thing is set up. If this job opened now, it would be a really attractive job for somebody. The list would be a lot better than it was the last time.
Yeah.
The last time, it was a rudderless, leadershipless, complete mess. And Dave Hart had a reputation in the business as being a buffoon. And I think if you got a Blackburn in here, it's a totally different story.
Well, with Blackburn, and he's a guy, you know, that I want. I mean, we graduated from the same high school. He's older than me, but I know his family, and they're good people.
He's
good people.
Yes.
But, you know, if he has to work under DiPietro and these board of trustees, that would be like having Josh Dobbs trying to run the West Coast offense for the 49ers. It's not to his skill set. He's going to be hamstrung. So that's kind of a real concern is, you know, even if you get Blackburn, is he going to be able to do what he needs to do? And you know as well as I do, Russ, if this job comes open, they're going right back to the dollar store. to find the next mid-major guy that none of us have heard about.
Wait a second. They're paying this guy north of $4 million.
He's ninth in the league, Tony. He's the ninth highest paid coach in the league. Right, wrong, or indifferent. That's what they think this football program investment is worth. Ninth in the league. So to all the Tennessee fans, you know, guys, it ain't going to get better. This if Tennessee can get to 9-3 and go to Atlanta, that is the epitome of Tennessee athletics. Thanks, guys.
865-200-5402.
Well, that was very uplifting.
Yeah. Somewhere John's in his garage. He's now reaching for the gas can.
He's right, though. I mean, if you just unveiled a $100 million Neyland Stadium enhancement plan.
Yeah.
If you end up having to make a coaching change for one reason or another.
Right.
Put your money into the people, not the build. The buildings are fine. They've got the facilities are second to none. Invest in coaches. That's how you win.
The way I look at this thing, though, is you got to take steps. And this year, getting to Atlanta is a step.
Sure.
And whether Butch Jones is here to see this thing through, I believe Tennessee football has some great days ahead. I believe in the power of one. I believe in the power of star players. I believe in the power of playmakers. I believe this Garantano guy is going to be a great player. I believe he's going to do for Tennessee what Boyd did for Clemson, what, dare I say, Deshaun Watson did for Clemson, what, dare I say, Tim Tebow did for Florida, what, dare I say, Peyton Manning did for Tennessee.
Well, and we're going to see.
Stars flock to those guys, man. Stars flock to those guys.
And we're going to see whether Butch Jones is a survivalist or whether he's going to go down to the ship. Is he going to do
right.
What Cutcliffe did at Ole Miss, refuse to,
that's right.
to grow, what Barnes did at Texas,
that's right.
stay loyal to his guys, or is he going to say, you know what, I like making $4 million a year and being
that's
the
right.
head coach at Tennessee, and I like Mike DePord, but he's got to go. I'm going to go out there and find myself an elite offensive coordinator.
Well, here's what's going to happen. And I wrote this earlier in the week on my blog at TonyBasilio.com. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It might have been Wednesday. In my mind, what you're fixing to see here is a really tumultuous 6 weeks. Within the next 6 weeks, Tennessee is going to hire a chancellor.
Yeah.
And the chancellor may be that gal, Davenport from Cincinnati. She's the leader of the three quote-unquote outsiders. There's a move afoot for Jan Semek to get the job internally. Then what you're going to see is you're going to see a real struggle over who the AD is going to be. David Blackburn is a slam dunk hire, but there's some political games being played behind the scenes that could inhibit his chances of being AD. I'm not going to expound too far into that, but that's what I believe is going on. He's not the slam dunk that he looked like 6 weeks ago. People must see past their agendas toward the agenda of my university and do the right thing. Let me say this to you. And I'm not going to expound too far into the whole thing because I don't want to get into it until the time comes. In the meantime, against the backdrop of what the moving parts behind the scenes, you've got Tennessee moving toward winning a division championship. And part of that today is a 49-36 win over Kentucky, where this team just put their head down, did what they had to do to win a game, made big plays. And great for the Vols. And then you have, on the other side of things, you have on the other side, perhaps getting to Atlanta. Now, you know, and I know, that getting to Atlanta with three losses, Russell, is not getting to Atlanta with two losses. It's not. And it's not the same, and it's not going to feel the same, and it's not going to be perceived as the same.
I don't care.
I don't care either, but Butch Jones is going to be told at the end of the season, I believe, by whoever's AD is, you got to upgrade your offensive coaching staff. He's going to say, no, I don't. We scored 49 against Kentucky. We put 45 up against Missouri. We scored 30 against Vandy. Nobody does anything against Alabama, and we blew somebody out in a bowl game, because this team is going to be mismatched in a bowl game with four losses. Even if they win, they're going to be mismatched in a bowl game. Now, somebody's asking me, is DeBoer's contract up? Yeah, it's a two-year deal. His contract's up.
Mahoney's contract is up, too.
So what? One thing he's shown is that he's loyal. And
he wasn't very loyal to Jancic.
There was more behind the scenes. But he could use that. He could use this as an excuse to get out of town, which is really interesting, which is your point. And it could look like he could smell like a rose doing it, too. See, we know that this guy is real sensitive. We all know that. Anybody listening to me right now knows it's reality. This guy is a super sensitive guy, and he feels like our fan base has been too hard on him at times, and that's okay. He's allowed to feel that way. I think he's wrong, but he's allowed to feel that way. Well, we saw a manifestation of that last week. But Russell, he could use this whole I'm loyal to coaches, the NC State thing's about to open up, Purdue, there's going to be some other jobs that are going to open up before the year's over. Who knows?
Well, I mean, if Mike McIntyre gets a step up from Colorado, that's the job he was about to take before we came and got him. So I think there are going to be some options for him at the end of the season, but
and he has an agent that will work the phones. He has an agent that's not doing him any favors. His agent is not giving him proper guidance through this thing in Trace Armstrong.
Well, and if Butch looks at it, and he knows that he had a really good team these past two seasons. He had a great roster. He went 8-4, maybe 9-3. He's losing his senior quarterback. He's losing Barnett, Sutton, all these great players.
Yep.
If he looks at it and says, man, my team's about to take a step back next year. I can't win the East next year.
Yep.
These people are going to be on me. Perhaps now is the time to get out while you can get a better job and restart the clock rather than get fired next year if things don't go well.
Konzo Martin,
exactly.
Like the great one, Jason Swain said earlier in the week on the air. Jason said the guy feels like Konzo. Maybe. Who knows? I'm just telling you that the atmospheric conditions are here. Are ripe for really interesting 6 weeks around here, the likes of which we haven't seen. Now, one of the things that's to put that into play is Tennessee's got to win the rest of their games, and Florida's got to lose next week to LSU. Those two things have to happen. Two wins, Florida's got to lose. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Tennessee rolls Kentucky today. Let's get in the mix and in the hunt if you want to with us. 865-200-5402. And I'm going to grab Bino, who will join us. Bino, I want to hear your thoughts as we go along. Welcome in, brother. How you doing?
Guys, I've survived doing all Chino's work that she usually does. A power outage. Kentucky looking like 1990s Nebraska. And John being barricaded in his garage. And I finally cleared everything up, and I appreciate y'all letting me join.
Let's go to the phones. Is Bino the great is there, and let's get our first call in with Bino. 865-200-5402. Welcome in. You're on the Smart Way. Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome.
Oh, am I awake?
That is you. That is absolutely you, my man.
Oh, that's cool. I'm Leesburg guy. I promise I won't cuss like last week.
Please, get on in here, buddy. Welcome in.
No, I mean, I think the game was awesome. I mean, and I'm not, like, I don't like to make excuses, but our defense, we have, nobody left. Nobody left. And I think the offense carried the day today, but what you were talking about earlier, the bigger picture about Butch, I don't know, man, and I may disagree, maybe I'm wrong. But once we start down this road of somebody, if you would change it up, that's another four-year bullshit. It's another four-year fix. And I'm not sure what he's done wrong enough to get rid of him.
All I totally agree. Look, I love Butch Jones. Now, I think he's flawed. I'm flawed.
No, I'm not saying he's perfect, but I'm saying...
I want him to make it, and I don't want him to leave. If I could get one message to him, truthfully, it would be, these people really like you, man, but you're in a place where there's passion, but you can win with this passion. This passion, plus your energy and the way you work, could be a dynamite pairing. Go get yourself some help on offense. Yourself some help on offense.
But you know what? I really think Josh Dobbs was the right guy during this era because he was a leader. I believe our offense is going to explode with Jerry Guantanamo.
Going to be really interesting to see, especially if the same players stay in place. If Nick Sheridan stays over there as quarterback's coach, you have the same offensive line coach. You have Mike DeBoard calling the Butch Jones' offense next year.
I'll take that with accurate throws. Not just accurate throws.
Yeah.
I think that's unfair. On-time throws. 3, 5, and 7-step bops to get out of your hand.
Well, that's interesting. Bino, what do you say to this gentleman?
Well, Tony, I'm not, I'm hopeful. I'm still hopeful that Butch Jones is a guy that can take us forward. I told you yesterday, if we lost any of these last three games,
yep,
my faith in him would be maybe irreparably damaged.
Yep.
But I do not believe, under any circumstances, that Butch Jones should be or will be fired, regardless of what happens in the last two games of the year. He gets year five.
Right.
And we'll get a chance to see what was right, what's true. Was it last year's offense or this mm-hmm. year's offense? Was mm-hmm. it last year's offensive line or this year's offensive mm-hmm. line? How much did injuries really, really change mm-hmm. our defensive approach? Those type of things, and give him a chance to make some staff changes that he needs to make.
Was it Mike DeBoard? Was it Josh Dobbs or Mike DeBoard? You know, there's a lot of things.
That's fair.
Yeah. I think this Guarantano guy, I think it would be criminal. I think it would be criminal to our caller if Butch Jones tucked tails and runs, and that's what he would be doing if he left. I think it would be criminal if he didn't get a chance to see at least partially part of this through with that Guarantano guy, Russell. I really believe that.
And he might be thinking that too, as you know, this is what I've built up to. I finally got the perfect quarterback for this system.
Yeah.
I've got a chance to make some small adjustments to my coaching staff and we're gonna go out here and run it up, and if it works, I get to stay here and compete for championships, and if it doesn't, I'll go coach at Cincinnati.
People who are jumping the gun on Butch Jones are jumping the gun on Butch Jones. If you've already decided that you want him gone, in my opinion, you have jumped the gun on him. That's okay that you jumped the gun, but it's, to me, you're being, it's not unfair, but this caller has a great point. Our defense and our offense is beat all to hell today. Wiesman left the game today, /Wiseman. Todd Kelly left the game today. McDowell left the game today again. And we already had a mass unit coming in.
Yeah, how many defensive tackles do we actually have?
Mike, how about this? We had a walk-on in our rotation, and he got hurt this week.
So when I look at the defense, I'm not happy with Shoup, but my God, I have never seen a Tennessee defense this injured and hurt.
Right. Right.
So how do you evaluate that? And then an offense that scores 50 points.
I don't know. I'll tell you this, though. These guys are learning. These guys are learning. At the end of the half today, I don't know if you all saw this, but when it was time for them to throw the bomb, and when they threw the bomb, it looked like me throwing the bomb. This kid could throw the ball about 30 yards in the air.
Yeah, it was terrible.
they had Malone in the game in center field, and they had Jennings in the game in center field. They learned from that Georgia experience.
Went down the ball too, yeah.
What a concept. I applaud that, though. Hey, I applaud that. That's progress in my book.
And maybe I'm wrong, but yeah. I think our coaches are doing all they can depending on who's available. I mean, yeah. I really think they're doing all they can to who's available right now.
And again, next year, if Bob Stoops here, and I think he will be, I think he's trying to get a head coaching job. That was his said desire.
And Tony, and you're exactly right. He was looking to get one and done.
Yes, he was.
Done today.
No, it ain't going to happen for him unless he finds a job. You know, we don't – unless he takes a – what's the word, guys? A, kind of a mid-major deal, a project. I mean, but with the numbers that he's thrown up here, people aren't going to be beating your door down. I don't know what you sell.
No, but he's been crushed within.
I know that. But again, you got to sell things to your fan base, and you can't sell this guy at a top 10 defense. This guy here has been emasculated this year with the injuries.
And he has a first-team All-American, and Barnett is as good as there is.
Yeah, and I was glad to see Phillips play well today as well. So, yeah, Barnett.
And Detroit Lewis played well.
He sure did. Bunch of guys defensively played well today. Hey, listen, I appreciate your passion. I appreciate you being there, and you only got one what could be seen as curse word in there today. So great call by you.
I apologize, man.
Hey, thank you, brother. My wife screamed at me because of you last week. Thank you.
Hey, Tony, I am somewhat concerned about, and I agree. It's just about impossible to completely evaluate Bob Shute based on. His unit's been decimated by injuries.
Right.
We haven't seen the Vandy Bob Shute from day one.
No, but
everyone was on the field.
But we've been so.
Positioning and tackling has nothing to do with your personnel.
But don't you guys think that he's been around the block enough and is smart enough to see that? I mean, surely that's something they have to work on going forward. And my hope is that it's just one of those things where. It takes a year to learn a new system and to adjust.
Poor Kirkland today. Somebody just mentioned this on Periscope. Somebody earlier on Twitter. You know, Kirkland was so out of position on so many plays today. He's just not healthy. It's obvious. It is obvious. And they're not going to say this. If I'm looking at them on film next week, I scheme things for that middle linebacker because that guy is not well.
Yeah.
He's not well.
The other thing I'll say, too, is the next time one of these corner blitzes works for us will be the first.
God. What the hell?
They're killing us.
Can I ask just a question?
When you see Golden creep up to the line, you're like, oh, here comes a 50-yard play.
Here comes a big play, either on the ground or through the air.
Yeah, it may have worked at some point this year, and we just kind of don't pay attention to it, but today... They absolutely ruined us every time that we tried it. Let me throw something out there real quick.
And then we'll go to our phones.
I was 100% in agreement with Bush Jones in the preseason when he decided it wasn't going to be real physical. Mm-hmm. I thought we had a veteran team.
Right.
I thought it was exactly the right thing to do to keep everybody healthy. In retrospect, with all of our injuries and our inability to tackle anything, that a motion detector goes off on. I believe it was a mistake, and I believe those two things I believe they have a lot to do with it.
Oh, I think you're right. Look, nobody can tell me that when you got a guy like Reeves Maben out of your lineup, you got a guy like Kirkland today playing, I don't even know what he was, 50%, 60%? If you don't think that doesn't hurt your ability to make plays, the fact that you can't ambulate on a football field, you got a guy like McDowell who got hurt in the first half today, towards the end of the half. I mean, if you don't think that comes into play with what you're doing, Kentucky gashed us. We're holding on for dear life. Now, caller makes a great point. You guys make a great point. What are we doing? And this is my point going back to that South Carolina game. You gave them a touchdown with that stupid corner blitz. You are inexperienced. You got people out of position as it is. Why are you gambling like that? And what are we doing with the corner blitz? Was that you that brought that up?
Yeah, well, and you,
it's stupid.
And you see so many, particularly in the NFL, they'll say, oh, you got to be able to get pressure with four. Well, we've got Derek Barnett and Vereen.
Right.
Like,
right.
I would say just, you know, be simple, make it easy for the kids so they
right.
don't have to a billion things going through their minds before the snap. And if you give up 300 yards, you give up 300 yards.
Yes.
But you're giving up 500 yards.
Get your best players on the field.
You know?
Get your best
See,
players.
See, I think most of those were run blitzes today, too. I don't believe they were worried about their quarterback that's, even standing back there in the pocket.
And that's the point.
I think we were run right. blitzing and running right by people that were going to run right in that area.
865-200-5402. There's a couple times where corner blitzes, and they basically see it and run right at that corner where the corner was. And there is a wide open path.
Yeah.
I called Bino. I said, it looks like Sal Cinceri's back at defensive coordinator. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, you're on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome in.
Hey, Tony, I started to call in and rip you earlier when you put out there that Dobbs averaged 20 yards a pass attempt today. Because I was ESPN needs to hire you because you can obviously use a calculator.
Thank you.
ESPN had it posted that it's 13.1 yard pass attempt. And I'm like, you know, I was going to call in and rip you, and I got my calculator out, and you were exactly right, 20.1 yards.
Now, he had a, let me tell you, man, he had a sterling golden day. It was, he hulked up out there on that football field, and you can tell by Josh Dobbs' body language, he loves playing him some Kentucky, man. Absolutely had fun today, and it was good to see that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, guys. What I don't understand is how it took them. And I know Jalen Hurts a great running back, but how did it take old Butchie Boy all this time to realize that he needs to be using Kamara and John Kelly? I mean, I could tell last year, John Kelly, He's a hell of a running back. And he's got that Detroit nastiness in him. When I saw him stomp on that guy's leg last year, I'm like, that's the kind of guy I want on my team.
Yeah, he's nasty. Today, there were a couple of occasions where he's hit by two guys, and he refuses to go down. And of all the backs today, he had the least gaudiest showing. He had 16 carries, 94 yards. Several of his runs were hard earned, and most mortals would have had 16 carries and about 80 yards, because there were a couple plays where he got 4 or 5 yards on his own just by not going down, keeping his feet moving, pad level, all the great things they talk about with running backs, the good ones. You can see that this kid has a chance to be a very good running back.
There's no question about it. He's going to be a phenomenal running back. But I tell you what, guys, was that mouthpiece that had that call a few calls ago saying that he thought 9-3 is as far as Butchie Boy could take it?
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's what he said, and I don't know if that's the case. I don't think that's fair.
Well,
he built a team this year without injury. Probably goes 10-2 or 11-1.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. I agree with you, Tony. Unless he gets some help on the offensive side of the football, I don't think it's going to end good for him here.
How about calling those two guys AKK46? Our core of running backs.
I don't follow you, Tony.
AKK46. Bino, you follow that, don't you?
Yeah, that's their, that would be their numbers combined and their initials combined.
I said that because Cobb Webb's already taken.
Hey, both those guys are fit this offense really well. I like them both. After I saw Kamara against Bowling Green last year, I thought we underutilized him. But I think we've forgotten a little bit how good Jalen Hurd was, too, until late this year. He was going to be the leading rusher in the history of this program. And he ran like a man possessed against Florida. I do not know what happened against Georgia, but we've forgotten a little bit of what he was capable of doing.
Yeah, I fought that. I don't like, I had a guy tell me that at a tailgate today about how Hurd was a malcontent and this and that. And I told him, I said, brother,